I'm no sourdough, not born and raised in Alaska, but I have lived my entire adult life on this island, listening to these birds all summer long. This is weird. I have never seen this bird, a Swainson's thrush, could not pick one out of a police lineup. One spring, though, a hermit thrush landed on my windowsill every morning to spar with the rival he saw reflected in the glass. I have no doubt, as with some other species, his mate saw past his limited intellect and was won over by his great song. I'll add varied thrush to this list of songbirds that define our soundscape, along with the ruby-crowned kinglet, song sparrows, juncos, and chickadees. Eagles and ravens are the icons of the audible environment, and also the most visible. But the monster of song is this little guy, about the size of a golf ball. That's the winter wren. I'm waxing on about how Sitka sounds because it's starting to change.
It's a cooing that progresses, so kind of coo, 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 in a way, something kind of like that.
Paul Norwood is a local naturalist. He's talking about the Eurasian collared dove. This bird was part of his childhood in France only because it got there just before he did.
Nobody really physically brought them from one place to the next, but people changed the environment to where it was good for the doves and they started spreading. And next thing you know, by the time I was little, they were common everywhere in France, just about everywhere that there's houses or fields.
And now it turns out, my house. While working on this story, I persuaded a small team of birders, let's call them dove chasers, to help me find some of Sitka's collared doves. We staked out their favorite utility lines along Halibut Point Road and hiked the fringes of our 9-hole golf course with limited success. The dove chasers disbanded after 2 days. On day 3, I was sleeping with the window open early one morning during Alaska's June heat wave when the collared dove came to me. Two of them just flew by. Two of those doves just flew by my window. I just had time to get my recorder going before the doves left. But this bird is so common now in the lower 48 and in Europe that good recordings are not hard to come by. This is part of the collection of the Macaulay Library of Wild Sounds at the Cornell Laboratory of Ornithology in Ithaca, New York. It's where I found the songs of the birds we heard earlier. David Bonter is assistant director at the lab.
Yeah, I just pulled up Sitka on Google Earth here, and it's pretty remarkable that they're there because you're separated from other communities by vast expanses of forest and water, which is certainly not conducive to these birds.
The first recorded sighting of the Eurasian collared dove in North America was in Homestead, Florida, in 1982. This was 3 or 4 years after the initial release of doves in Nassau, Bahamas, during the burglary of a pet store. The doves are native to India. They were introduced in Turkey, and from there colonized Europe in the 1940s at a pace of about 30 miles a year. The first dove sighted in Alaska was in 2009 along the Denali Highway between Anchorage and Fairbanks, about 4,500 miles from Homestead, Florida. That's a pace of 166 miles a year. Bonter says collared doves are programmed to move from the moment they are hatched.
After young birds become independent from their parents, in many species they disperse a set distance, and in something like a chickadee it might only be a mile or two. But in collared doves they seem to have this remarkable ability to go great distances from their natal area, the place where they hatched from. And so we see these huge movements from year to year. Back in the 1990s, birds were moved from Florida to Oklahoma to Oregon very, very quickly.
In warm climates, where the dove's preferred diet is readily available, principally seeds, they've been observed nesting 11 months of the year. Cold climates are no barrier. They're already in Scandinavia and in Iceland. Paul Norwood says the collared dove, like the dandelion and the starling, will make its home wherever we have made ours.
the collared dove is essentially taking advantage of a niche that people created. So they're not really moving into a native one. And that we created this spot for doves to move in by having feeders out, by having certain ornamental plants, and by having, for example, maple trees and other trees that they like to grow nest in. And that's not something that they'll find on, say, Kruzov. So they might go to Kruzov, but they're not going to like it.
As it happens, I'm recently back from several days on Kruzov Island, and it remains dove-free. I thought about that a lot while I was hiking, maybe too much. David Bonter at Cornell says that his lab has processed thousands of reports of this bird as it has invaded our continent over the past two decades, and I represent a certain minority.
I hate to say it, but you are the first person I've ever heard complain about the song of the Eurasian collar dove. A lot of folks really, really enjoy it, really appreciate it.
I'm not saying it has a bad song. I think of it as the soundtrack of another part of the world. Collared doves are not hard to spot unless you're a member of my elite dove chasers. They're similar to a mourning dove, grayish white, and larger than our urban pigeon, which is also an invasive species. And you might almost mistake them for a gull, but they have a small head and beady red eyes. Alaska has always been a little rough on newcomers. Paul Norwood says some inhabitants of this island may find the dove soothing. Others may find it tasty.
I mean, we had a goshawk eat a chicken on Merrill Street last fall, so you never know.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.